grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My, how things have changed. Naked actually used to mean innocent, selfless, and perfect. That's what naked used to mean. So the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, were both naked, and they weren't ashamed, according to Moses, according to what he wrote in Genesis. They weren't ashamed. Now, it's a little different from guilt, because shame actually induces an unhealthy preoccupation with yourself. That Adam and his wife were unashamed, even though they were naked, makes sense, because they didn't have the level of self-awareness that comes from thinking about themselves all the time. They didn't think about themselves. They had no shame. They were innocent. But then, of course, as soon as they sinned, their eyes were opened to a new reality. Sure, they knew good and evil. Knowledge that their Creator had purposely withheld purely for their own good. But now they see that they're naked, exposed, vulnerable. And when their eyes incline towards themselves for the first time, they're ashamed. Look at me, Adam thinks. Look at me, his wife says. But each one is too preoccupied with him or herself to notice the nakedness of the other person. Sin does exactly that. It curves our gaze in upon ourselves. The Latin word that we use for it is incurvatus. We are turned in. Sin turns us in upon ourselves. So what could they do? They saw what they looked like. They saw and they were ashamed. What could they do? Well, the one thing we know that they did, or that they hoped to do, was to hide themselves. Making clothes out of fig leaves hastily stitched together before their flight into the garden, away from the Lord, away from their Creator. The fact of the matter is, fig leaves really can't hide sin. Fig leaves can't hide guilt either. So, after God exposes their hiding place, gets their acknowledgement, although not their confession for their sin, and he doles out the curses to the two and to the serpents, he then upgrades their clothes from those fig leaves to garments made from skin. That's what it says at the very end, that he made some garments out of skin. And so what they learned very quickly is that God was not wrong in threatening death at the moment that they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he mercifully actually stayed their executions by shedding the blood of whatever innocent animal taking the skin, innocent animal that was there, and he took the skin to cover the sin and the shame of the man and the woman. Their nakedness would be covered at the cost of an even deeper nakedness. For what could be more exposed than an animal that's been stripped of its skin? And so the very first death, the very first bloodshed, happened at the hands of the Creator himself, to grant to these rebels the luxury of hiding their shame behind the innocence of another creature. And even though we won't admit it all the time, that really is the true nature of sin. You see, we want to hide it behind, we want to hide it behind pious-seeming fig leaves. But these, of course, won't do. No matter what we do to delete our browsing history, if you will, we can't hide our shame and our guilt from the eyes of an omniscient, all-knowing God. No matter how we try to couch our gospel, no matter how we try to couch our gossip in that thinly veiled request to pray for her. Those words remain reputation-damaging slander against our neighbor, and they render us guilty before a holy God. Even if we call it just getting what's rightfully ours, it's still greed. Excuses about why we can't make it to the week after week Sunday morning divine service don't allow us to receive those gifts that God delivers there. And they can't hide our sin. That everyone else does it, well, it's kind of like a fig leaf. That doesn't cover it too well, and it tears pretty easily. What God does is He calls us to repent. To repent of these and all of the other fig leaf attempts to hide our sin and trick ourselves into thinking that somehow we're blameless. The fact of the matter is, sin can only be covered with skin. Now, nobody knows what animal that was in the garden, that animal that the Creator took this hide, this innocent hide from, in order to hide the exposed and vulnerable parts of Adam and his wife. But given the way in which lambs are often selected to be sacrifices on Passover, in the tabernacle, in the temple, it's not unreasonable to suspect that the very first animal to die, skinned to stave off death for mankind, was a lamb. As John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus on the other side of the Jordan, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the fulfillment of every lamb that had its throat slit for the sacrifice in the temple. Behold, the fulfillment of every Passover lamb roasted and completely consumed the night before God brought His people out of slavery. Behold, the Lamb who's not actually a lamb, but a man. Behold, God with skin. And now behold the man that's standing there before the Roman soldiers getting flogged, scourged with their evil instrument of torture, the flagrum, designed to shred the skin from the back of the victim, tearing away flesh so deep that the internal organs might be exposed. Behold the man on whose head soldiers pressed the crown of thorns to ridicule him as a madman with his belief in being a king. Behold the man whom Pilate brought forth to say, "This is no king." Here is God with skin on, clothed in the mockery of sinful man. So behold the man who, when he was nailed to the cross, was stripped naked, exposed. Behold the man whose clothes the soldiers divided amongst themselves. Behold the man whose seamless tunic they gambled for. Behold the man, God with skin, whose skin is shamefully exposed for all passersby to mock. Behold the naked God. But more than that, behold the man who will bear your sin and shame, and my sin and shame. Behold the man who will suffer in our place. Behold the man whose nakedness answers Adam's. Behold the man's naked and unashamed, with nothing to hide, with no sin of his own. Behold this man stripped bare to bear our sins. Each and every one of them. All of them. Nothing withheld. All of the sins, the ones we try to hide, the ones we pretend aren't even there, the ones that cause us the greatest shame, every single one of them hang there on the cross with this man. This God, Jesus, naked and dying for you and for me. So behold the man, stripped naked so that he could clothe you and me in new skin, behold the man who would hide our sin with his own righteousness. Behold the man who gives us himself to wear. Our epistle reading said, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Behold the man in whose washing in holy baptism we are clothed with the incomparable perfection of his righteousness. Luther's great exchange is absolutely true. He got all the shame, the guilt, and the ugliness of our sin. We got all the innocence, the purity, and the righteousness of his holiness. That's what we got on the cross. Behold the man who covers our sin with his skin. And so tonight, as you go home, wear this raiment. Wear Jesus. Wear him. Our sin is gone. Our shame has been removed. Our guilt is all dissipated. Behold the man, Jesus Christ, who died for you and for me and for the whole world. Behold the man. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.